from turn four, final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come, checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And welcome in to a very special edition of Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app as well in this Big Machine Music City Grand Prix edition of Chasing Checkers is all presented by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, European Collision and Repair, and Hillside Medical. I am Chase McCabe. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your Saturday. And yes, it is finally here. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix on the streets of Nashville. I was down there yesterday. I will be there after this show today doing a special show on the stage, the main stage, starting at 12:45, and it's quite a sight. It's awesome. Talk to some of the drivers, Joseph Newgarden, of course, Hendersonville's own, and they are all very, very excited about it and ran some laps yesterday and got a feel for it, and, you know, some guys hit the wall, which is not what you want to do inside an Indy car. They don't have the fenders like NASCAR, so don't want to bounce it off the wall. That is not good, but those corners are very, very tight. The speeds are high, especially coming off the Korean Veterans Bridge. That was a sight to see. Where I went and stood, I saw them come out of basically close to the pits. They make a hard right. They go zooming across the bridge into downtown, make a loop, and then they come back across the bridge. So I saw them coming off the bridge onto Shelby Street, and then they had to make a hard left to get back going around Nissan Stadium. So quite the spectacle, and you know that they're thinking, I hope these brakes hold up, because there are some hard braking zones around this track that's just over 2 miles in length. Around the streets of Nashville, 2.17 miles to be exact, 553 yards of bridge that they will be using in this race for the NTT IndyCar Series. But you also have the Trans Am Series, GT, they had super trucks doing jumps on the track. So a lot of different things going on, plus concerts and all of that. But yesterday was practice for the NTT IndyCar Series, and we got to see them on the track for the first time, because really they've all been using the simulator, and that was, you know, going to be important. But they were actually able to turn laps. Colton Herta was the fastest on the day in his number 26. His best time was 1:16.5875 after that. The average speed for him, or the best speed, was 98.7 miles an hour, ran about 27 laps in that practice session. And the practice session was a little bit longer than usual just because it was the first time they had been on the track. Scott Dixon was second. Romain Grosjean was three. Alexander Rossi fourth. Marcus Ericsson fifth. Alex Palou, the points leader, rounded out the top six there. To give you more of the top 10, Felix Rosenquist, Will Power, Scott McLaughlin, Simon Pagenaud, and then Joseph Newgarden, Hendersonville's own, came in 12th in the first practice session. Some notables, James Hinchcliffe was right behind him in 13th, Graham Rahal in 14th, Takuma Sato, the Indy 500 champion, two-time Indy 500 champion, who's going to join us a little later. He was 17th on the day, and a guy, of course, I'm going to pay attention to, Jimmy Johnson, the NASCAR champion, 23rd on the day in this one. Santino Ferrucci, who we talked to last week, was 25th. Cody Ware rounding out the field of 26 that practiced in the first practice for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. So before we hear from some of the drivers, I just want you to think about this event. This is the first one, but the plan is, with people that are involved in this, that it's going to grow. It's going to continue to grow. This isn't going to be a one-and-done thing. You're going to see this for many years to come. They have a three-year contract right now, but you know that they want to build this for even more. And I talked to the president of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, Chris Parker, earlier this week, and he talked about the future.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't make the commitments that we have made, the investments that our private investors have made, without a vision for the future and for the long haul. And so, you know, we want people to come out and experience it in year one. Why? Because we think that's really important, because we're going to learn a lot. We're going to get better. We're going to make improvements in years two and three and five and 10. You know, we're not naive to the fact we've had great guidance. We've gotten great partnership from a number of outlets like the CVC, like the Titans, like the Chamber, like the Sports Council, like other promoters who do similar events in Long Beach and St. Petersburg and Detroit. So we feel like we've got great information and great intel. But you know what? We're going to make mistakes. And there are absolutely things that we can improve on in year two. But the way we do that is by people coming out and experiencing it and then telling us about the things that they love and about the things that, you know what, maybe wasn't exactly on par and can be improved.
And I think that last part is going to be the most important thing, because it's not all going to be perfect this weekend. Nobody expects it to. They've never done this before. They've never turned city streets of Nashville into a race course. Has it been done? Of course it has, but not here. And so they're going to learn from it, and they're going to grow from it, and they're then going to move on and make next year even better, and the year after that even better, and the year after that. That's what you expect. They got a lot of smart people involved in this group, and so I'm very, very excited to be able to attend the first one, to talk about the first one, and watching cars on the track yesterday was just a thrill. To see those cars, you know, I'm so used to ovals and stock cars, big, heavy stock cars with the, you know, loud, heavy engines, and hear that, whoa, and it was like 2 seconds and they're gone. It was a lot of fun. And I have a new appreciation for IndyCar racing. It's been developing over the years. That's why I try to talk about it even more here on the show. But watching the skill, and especially coming off that bridge with the bumps, you know, I'm worried the front end's going to bounce up or something, but they got it all figured out, and it's going to be cool to watch for 80 laps on Sunday. So let's hear from some of the players that could be involved, including the points leader, Alex Palou.
It's a track. It's a really good track. I had lots of fun driving it. It's really special to go over the bridge and to come back. Really tight corners, but I think it's going to be a good event. I like how the car feels, so I think it's going to be a good weekend for the number 10 NTT Data Honda car.
Points leader Alex Palou from Chip Ganassi Racing talking about his practice session. And that's the thing you got to keep remembering. It's a tricky track. It wasn't meant to be easy. You know, these are some of the best drivers in the world, and these are expensive machines, tough machines to drive, and so they made it challenging for them, but everything that I heard is the drivers seem to like it. They seem to like how the course is laid out, and so that is going to put on a good show for the fans. I mentioned that Colton Herta led the way in practice, and he had some comments afterwards.
It's still changing, but what we rolled off the track with was pretty good. You know, I feel like when you go to these street circuits that are bumpy and technical, like this one is, it's about, you know, having the least worst car, if that makes sense. You know, it's never going to handle nice, so you just kind of try to get it into an operating window where it's better than everybody else's.
Colton Herta, after practice today, finds himself sitting seventh in the standings. He does have a win on the year, but would like to add to his total as he tries to catch the drivers in front of them. But to give you a run through the standings right now in the NTT IndyCar Series, I mentioned Alex Palou. He is the points leader with two wins. Pato O'Ward, who did have some problems today. He did find the wall. Came in a little too hot off a turn, hit the wall. He is second with two wins. Scott Dixon has one win on the year in third. Joseph Newgarden, Nashville Zome, is fourth with one win on the year, including the last one at Mid-Ohio. Marcus Ericsson is fifth with one win. Simon Pagenaud is sixth. He does not have a win on the year. Herta, as I mentioned, seventh with a win. Rinus VK has a win on the year. He is eighth. Graham Rahal, who you'll hear from a little later on, is ninth with no wins on the year so far. And Takuma Sato, who you'll hear from later in the show, rounds out the top 10 in the NTT IndyCar Series. You know, some drivers that usually are up towards the top, Will Power, Alexander Rossi is back there, which is interesting. Ryan Hunter-Reay finds himself way back in 17th. So those are going to be some drivers that with the season winding down, they're going to be wanting to do a little bit more to try and find themselves up towards the top of the standings. One driver that has come into the IndyCar series, he's a rookie. It's weird to say that he is a rookie, but you can tell he is used to a different type of machine. That is Jimmy Johnson, the 7-time NASCAR Cup Series champion. It has been a learning curve for him, so to speak, and he discussed his first laps around Nashville.
Here in Nashville, I'm having a great time. We had a longer practice session to open up since it's the first time for the series to be here. A few guys had some troubles. We stayed on track and I logged a fair amount of laps. Very bumpy racetrack, but a very cool and scenic track, if you can say so from the driver's seat of a race car. Going up and over the bridge in both directions is really a neat rush, and you can see the skyline on both sides. On either side of the bridge, it is really rough and bumpy, so we're trying to manage the cars handling through bottoming and the bumps leading into the corners on both sides. And then you have these little tight twisty areas. So it's really an interesting balance of mechanical grip versus aero balance to create lap time. And off to a great start and really having a lot of fun in this Carvana 100.
I, as a NASCAR fan, an IndyCar fan, a racing fan, you know, I wasn't a Jimmy Johnson fan, not the person. He's a great person, just the driver for a long time. As I got older and, you know, admittedly, Dale Jr. joined Hendrick Motorsports, had more of a soft spot for him because he's a tremendous driver. He's a Hall of Fame driver on the NASCAR side, and he's earned it all. I want to see him be successful at this. I just don't know if he's going to be. And it's tough for me to say that. Now, if he tested on an oval at Homestead, there are thoughts that he's going to run the Indy 500 next year. He's under a 2-year contract with Chip Ganassi Racing to drive that 48 Carvana Chevy in the IndyCar Series, but he was only running the road courses. IndyCar Series, their schedule is significantly shorter than the NASCAR schedule, so that's one reason why he looked into it, but he also said that he hasn't closed the door on potentially running some one-offs back in NASCAR. That's something that maybe he's thought about doing as well. So you'll have to see there. But I'd like to see him be successful in IndyCar. If it's on a road course, which he was good at in NASCAR, or if he runs some oval stuff and it's good for him there. But I really hope it happens, and we'll see how he runs this week at Nashville at practice. He was towards the bottom, but you know, they got another day later today. They can have another practice session before qualifying and then the race tomorrow. So we will see how that all turns out. Speaking of qualifying, I wanted to go through the qualifying procedures for the NTT IndyCar Series and how it works on road courses. Just so if you're headed down there today, you're looking for something that you want to do, you want to check it out. This is what happens. This is straight off the IndyCar website, but qualifying is going to be broken down into 3 segments that progressively narrows the field to determine who's going to start first, the pole winner. Segment 1 has 2 groups determined by the top time posted by each car in the final practice session, so that'll be later today, before qualifying. So in segment 1, each of the 2 groups gets 10 minutes of track time, inclusive of full course caution conditions, with the fastest lap by each car determining its qualifying position. The fastest 6 cars from each group advance to segment 2, while the remaining cars are assigned positions 13 and back to the rear of the grid. Group 1 drivers occupy the odd number positions, 13, 15, 17, etc., while group 2 will be the even number positions based on their fastest lap times during the segment. Then you take the 12 out of those segments. They go to segment 2. They get 10 minutes of track time, inclusive of full course caution conditions, with the fastest lap by each entry determining its qualifying position. The fastest 6 advance to the Firestone Fast 6 shootout, while the remaining 6 cars are ranked in positions 7 through 12 based on their fastest lap during the segment. Then you have the Firestone Fast 6, which are those 6 cars. They get 6 minutes of guaranteed green flag track time. At the end of the session, the cars are ranked 1 through 6 based on their fastest lap during the segment. So kind of similar to the knockout qualifying that NASCAR's done, but wanted to go through those rules for the NTT IndyCar Series for those of you that are headed down there later today, and we hope that you are. I mentioned some of the other races. Another thing that's going to be happening at the end of this show at 11 o'clock, there's going to be practice for the Trans Am TA2 class. And one of the guys that is going to be in that race later on today is Scott Borchetta. He is the president and CEO of Big Machine. Of course, this is the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. Scott is one of the owners of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix and, of course, very successful in the music business, but also has a racing background as well. He is going to join us when we come back here on this special two-hour edition of Chasing Checkers, all presented by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, European Collision and Repair, and Hillside Medical on ESPN. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. And I promise you, we had things loaded for this morning as we get ready for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. And notice I say Big Machine. That's a very important part of this weekend. And we say hello to the president and CEO of Big Machine. Scott Borchetta is on the line with us. Scott, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you this morning, Chase?
I'm fantastic. Racing runs through my blood, and I'm excited about this weekend. It's obviously been a fun summer in Nashville with all the racing, but it's capped off with the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. And I know that you are excited about how it's all come together as a part of the ownership group of this thing, but also a racer at heart as well. What's it been like to watch it all evolve and finally get to this weekend?
You know, I've been in Nashville for a long time now, originally growing up in Southern California. So watching the city grow up the last several decades has been incredible. And it's always been a dream to have the Indy cars in Nashville with what I hope will be a permanent race. So seeing this all come together and then driving the track, it's really been surreal, you know, and to see all my friends here, whether it's Mr. Penske or Dario Franchitti or Tony Kanaan or Jimmy Johnson, all they're here. And it's just magical. And I'm so proud of Nashville, and I'm just so proud to be able to be part of this owners group, and I get to go racing today.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be in the Trans Am, the TA2 class race on this track, and I know that you've got a history in racing, not only music, but in racing. You are a champion out at the Fairgrounds Speedway race there. You're now in their Hall of Fame. So what kind of got you into racing?
You know, it all started very early on for me, whether it was Hot Wheels. But then the first real moment where it got into my DNA and stuck was the 1970 California 500. That was the very first race that I attended as a very young boy. And Bobby and Al Unser were in that race. Mario Andretti, A.J. Foyt, Dan Gurney. I mean, just the legends were in that race. And that is still part of my DNA today, and there's still even a lightning bolt in my logo to commemorate the Johnny Lightning car that Al Unser won the Indy 500 in 1970-1971.
The California 500, was that Ontario?
Yeah, that was Ontario.
Ah, what a cool track. Before my time, but being a racing historian, I've obviously watched some old clips from it. Very, very cool place. But you're the perfect person to talk to about this weekend because it's mixing racing and entertainment, and obviously you are in both, in the music industry with Big Machine and then also your love of racing. Why was this such an important thing for the city to basically bring racing back in or help bring racing back in, but also combine it being the music city?
Well, it's a perfect storm. It's the right city at the right time. We are party central, and you know, I want this to become the Long Beach Grand Prix or even Monaco of that great location. You know, in August, you're going to go to Nashville. If you're a race fan, you're going to see a great race. And if you just want to hang out and party, you're going to be at a great party. So there will be people here this weekend that don't see a lap, but that came in for the Grand Prix environment. And we have everything to offer. So for that super race fan, we got you covered. For that casual race fan, we got you covered. So few cities can do that. And that's why some of these other cities have failed, with Los Angeles and Chicago, because they were too far out from the city to really enjoy everything that the city has to offer. Well, we're right in the heart of the city. So this is going to be an incredible party weekend and an incredible race weekend and a bunch of music everywhere. You know, we have the Opry at the Grand Prix right after the race on Sunday night, with our own Justin Moore, Riley Green, Daniel Bradbury, Calista Clark. I mean, that's just how it ends. You know, it started last night with Brooks and Dunn and that great show, and there's music everywhere, there's racing everywhere, there's a party everywhere.
Yeah, and that's the Party City. That is definitely a good way to put it. Now, running in TA2 with the Trans Am Series, last month you had a career best fourth place finish at Road America. What has been, I guess, the most challenging thing for you running Trans Am?
Really just getting back into, I've never road raced before. It all goes back to, you know, 3.5 years ago, my good friend Ray Evernham insisted that I come and do a track day because my last race was September 3rd of 2005. I opened Big Machine Records September 1st. I knew this race was going to be my last race. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even tell my wife. We won the race, won the championship, and I'm like, I'm done. This is the perfect way to end this. And so I put every waking moment into building Big Machine Records. And then Ray says, hey, you need to come up for a track day. I'm like, nope. Next thing you know, he calls up because I've checked with your assistant. This day's open. You're coming over. And so I went over, did a track day, had a blast. And as I'm leaving, Ray goes, you know, you're pretty good. You should come and race with us. And I'm like, nope. And I'm flying home and go, my hero wants me to come and race with him. And I talked to my wife, Sandy, and she goes, why are you even asking me? I appreciate that you asked me, but I know you're going to go do this. So Ray got me into the vintage series, SBRA. We started renting a Corvette there, started winning races, and I'm watching the Trans Am series going, okay, that looks like a lot of fun. And the more I got into that, you know, looking at that car, it's not that different than a late model stock car. So, you know, as I learned how to turn right in a race car, you always want to do better. We won the championship in Group 6 in SVRA in our Corvette 2 years in a row. So it's like, all right, what's next? I still love racing. I still want to race. And while I can still race, I'm going to race. So it's been a blast to get to know these cars. And, you know, like at Road America, which you just mentioned, you know, that was a huge field. We had 37 cars. There were several cup guys in that race. You know, you had Austin Dillon, who finished 5th. Ryan Newman finished 10th. Ty Gibbs, Christopher Bell, et cetera. And it's kind of cool because I beat all of them that day. And that's just the luck of the draw. But that race in particular, you know, a Trans Am race is always 100 miles or 75 minutes. We didn't have a caution that day, and it was hot as could be. So you had guys really on the edge of their fitness regime and routine and everything else. So I felt really proud of that fourth place finish there. And it's just like anything. I go in stages like, okay, this is realistic. I think we can run, you know, last year, if we can run top 15, top 10, that's where we need to be. And we ended up with a bunch of top 10 finishes. This year, it's like, okay, if we can start hovering, getting close to that top 5, well, once you start running top 5, then you can see the checkers. So to get that top 5 finish at Road America was great. And, you know, we're getting our pace, and we're racing against, you know, these are professionals. You know, I do this, I still run Big Machine Records on a daily basis. So I'm still predominantly a weekend racer. And to go and race against Rafa Matos, who's been in the Indy 500 twice, Mike Skeen, who's raced all kinds of different formulas, you know, Merrill, you have real guys in this series. So it's very gratifying for me to come up to speed and pace and run with some of the best road racers in the country.
Scott Borchetta on the line with us. How often do you have to pinch yourself and remind yourself that you're living two dreams? You have a widely successful record label with Big Machine and other interests in that, but then also can go be a race car driver, like you said, on the weekends.
Well, it's I don't know how to explain the blessing. You know, we've all worked hard, and we just had some wonderful things fall our way and some great doors open, and, you know, we just try to remember how blessed we are and turn it back and help others. So it's really incredible.
Being born and raised in Nashville, the fairgrounds is obviously a very special place to me. Saw my first race out there. I grew up going to races on the weekends. You raced there. To see the support for that place now of revitalizing it, getting NASCAR back there, getting other time, big time series there. What does that mean to you personally?
It means so much to the sport. It means so much to the city. You know, if you're talking to Dale Earnhardt Jr. or Kurt and Kyle Busch or any of those guys who came out of local stock car racing and who have raced the fairgrounds. I remember the very first time I met Jimmy Johnson, and I told him that I was a champion at the fairgrounds. He's like, wow. When I was running ASA, to win at Nashville was like winning Daytona. So all those guys who ran at Nashville Fairgrounds know what a special place it is. But not only a special place, it's an important racetrack. Because, you know, when the Cup guys used to come to town, they would say, if you can win at Nashville, you can win anywhere. Because it's a tricky track. There are three grooves. And, you know, you learn those different grooves, and it gives you a lot of experience to go to a lot of these other tracks. You know, if you're knowing that you grew up watching races there, if you look at the guys who came out of here, whether it was Darrell Waltrip, Sterling or Cuckoo Marlin, Davey Hamilton, there are certain tracks that they always did great at, Richmond being one of them. And they learned so much running the oval at the Fairgrounds Speedway that that really helped them with other tracks. So I think it's an important racetrack for these guys and their experience to be racing at the Fairgrounds.
So, Scott, you you kind of have the trifecta here. You're a driver. You're a promoter now with being a part owner of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, but you also own an Xfinity Series team with Jade Buford, who's another Nashville guy. How's that been going? How'd that all come about?
So last year I put Jade in four races. We met. He was a driver coach and very established road racer. He's won some big races. And we hit it off. And so it's like, here's a guy who's still young, but by racing terms, you know, he's not a teenager anymore. You know, he's 32 or 33 years old. And it's like, this guy has incredible talent, and he deserves a shot. So I put him in four of the road races last year, and he did really well. That crazy Xfinity race at the Charlotte Roval, where it was blinding rain, and he finishes eighth on a track that he's never run before. And so I was looking to do a sponsorship deal for Jade, and I couldn't find the right opportunity or the right team or anything that I really got too excited about. So I called up Patrick Donahue, who had been with, you know, he was one of the Rainbow Warriors back with Ray. I met him through Ray Evernham. And I laid out an idea. I said, what do you think about this? He goes, I would love to do that. I said, you know what, let's go. Because it was going to cost just about the same amount of money to sponsor Jade as it was to start the team. And it's like, you know what? I've always started my, all of my success has been built around companies that I started. And it's like, you know what? Let's do this. So the fact that we are consistently top 20, a few top 15s in there now, it's the same thing. We're going to be, you know, in a minute, we're going to be competing for top 10s. And, you know, Jade, imagine this, Chase. You've never turned a lap at Atlanta Motor Speedway. The car's unloaded. You get in the car, a few pace laps, and you're taking the green, 180 miles an hour into turn one on a track you've never turned a lap on. So how good is Jade Buford? Jade has brought the car home every week. Outside of one guy running into him intentionally, which is a completely different story, this guy has incredible car control. So he's a competitor, man. As we get better, you're going to see the results get better.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been a fun journey to watch just because of the Nashville connection. But, you know, also you mentioned earlier, it's a party town, and Big Machine, you have the vodka spiked coolers now. I know that you made a special bourbon just for this weekend. You've just kind of dipped into everything under this Big Machine banner.
Yeah, you know, you think about what does the brand mean and what will it mean. And there's a crazy irony to the spirits part of this. You know, if we get the whiskey and the coolers right and the vodka right, 100 years from now, they're not going to remember the music that we did, but they're going to go, hey, give me another shot of that, you know, that Borchetta bourbon.
Yeah.
So it's, and also too, it really emanated from our race sponsorships. It's one thing to put Big Machine Records on a car, which is more of a vanity thing, because I don't sell any more music. I don't stream any more music by having that on a race car. I was doing it to have an awareness of the label and to support racing. So it got to the point, it's like, look, I want to invest more money on this, but we need a return on this investment. And we had done a lot of work with Crown Royal, you know, 10 years ago. And that was a great relationship. And that was really the inspiration for us to to have our own spirits.
Well, very cool. It's awesome to have you here and with the label and the race team and the distillery and then being a part of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. But go out and win today. I know that's easier said than done, but I know you're going to have a lot of fun with the Trans Am Series, but best of luck.
Hey, thanks a lot, Chase. And, yeah, keep an eye on that number 48 Big Machine Vodka Spike Cooler Camaro today. It's the biggest field we've ever had. There's over 40 cars in the race. So it's going to be a bit of a survival race, but I promise you this, I'll be standing on the gas.
I have no doubt about that Scott will be in the gas, because you got to go checkers or wreckers for a big thing like this. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, the Trans Am TA2 series that he will be a part of, and appreciate the president and CEO of Big Machine for joining us here on this very special edition of Chasing Checkers. And it is all brought to you by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, European Collision and Repair, and Hillside Medical. Appreciate all of them for joining us here on the show. When we come back, we'll talk a little NASCAR. We're going to mix some of that in as they return to Watkins Glen this week. And there's another big event that's returning to Nashville. I'll tell you what that is as you listen to Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back in Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. This edition, the special Big Machine Music City Grand Prix edition, a two-hour show today. Presented by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, European Collision and Repair, and Hillside Medical. And this is a loaded show. You just heard from Scott Borchetta, the president and CEO of Big Machine. Coming up at the end of this hour, Martin Truex Jr. is going to join the show, talk a little NASCAR with him. Takuma Sada, two-time Indy 500 champion, will join us in the second hour, as will Kurt Busch. So a lot more here to come, but a huge announcement this week regarding Nashville. As the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix makes its debut, the IndyCar Series returns to Nashville for the first time in a long time. They were out at the Nashville Super Speedway back in the late 2000s, but NASCAR announced on Thursday that the annual Champions Week that was such a success in 2019, it'll be here in 2021. But this time, they are bringing the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series, along with the Cup Series, to honor the champions of those three national series. It'll run November 30th through December 2nd in Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm so thrilled that this event is coming back, because really, that's what got everything going. They had the Cup Awards a couple years ago. That's when some of the conversations behind the scenes started taking place between Dover and NASCAR about reopening the Nashville Super Speedway. Some of the fairgrounds conversations were happening there. So this resurgence of racing in Nashville kind of started with the NASCAR Cup Series banquet. So I'm really glad that it's going to be coming back. I think it's going to be huge. They're going to announce more of what's going to be going on with it. They did say, you know, they're going to monitor everything with the COVID situation in the CDC and what to do there. NASCAR reinstituted its mask policy this week inside haulers and the media center and press box and all those things. So they are very aware of everything going on with COVID-19, as it just won't go away. But the awards banquet coming back here to the Music City, and I am looking forward to that coming up at the end of November and early December. Also this week, a big announcement. We knew a few weeks ago that Trackhouse Racing had purchased the Cup Series assets of Chip Ganassi Racing, and they were going to keep Daniel Suarez as a driver in the 99, but then they were going to decide on the second driver in what we now know is going to be the one car. So they're going to have the one and the 99 in that second Trackhouse car, and it is going to be Ross Chastain, who currently drives for Chip Ganassi Racing in the number 42. He will take over that number one that is currently driven by Kurt Busch, and that announcement was made this week. Justin Marks, who is one of the owners of Trackhouse Racing, just commented on the decision.
Yeah, no, this is a great moment, another great moment in the short, you know, history so far of Trackhouse Racing. As Ross mentioned, I've known him for a long time, and when he first came on the scene, knocking on our front door with a couple $20 bills to buy a used race seat from me, and for us both, you know, not just him, but for us both to be at this point right now with the way our career trajectories have gone since that, you know, 10 years ago or so is pretty amazing. You know, Trackhouse, we're trying to build something real special for the future. And that means, you know, recognizing talent that sort of is at an important point in the career where they've got experience, but they're young and they're still building their career. And that's what we feel like we have with Daniel. And now for sure we have with Ross. I mean, you know, Ross has got a number of cup starts under his belt. You know, just like Daniel, Ross is one of those guys where when he's been sitting in race winning equipment, he's gotten the job done. And that is a talent and a skill that is independent of just how fast you can go. There's a lot of guys in this sport that have sat in real fast stuff and not figured out how to close. We've got two winners on this race team now, two closers on this race team. I've got a lot of respect for Ross. He's important to Chevrolet. We've got a lot of partners that are excited about working with him that we're closing for 2022 right now. And, it's a great day. I think it was a great choice for our company. We've got somebody that can be a part of this company for a long time. I'm excited to offer Ross what I think is probably his first multi-year contract in his career in NASCAR. And it's a way for us to show that we're committed to him. We're building this team around him and I'm excited for the future. So welcome, Ross.
See, I think what's important about that, this whole thing with Trackhouse, and I'm a big fan of Trackhouse Racing, Justin Marks, and what Pitbull and what they're doing. They gave Daniel Suarez a shot. They're bringing him back. It's a multi-year deal. You can't get it all done in one year. Same with Ross Chastain. They're going to two cars next year. They're getting all these assets from Chip Ganassi Racing, and I think that is really going to help them as they continue to grow as a company. So I really believe in the things that they're doing. Justin is a part of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix as well, so it all ties together. Saw him and Daniel the other night at Joseph Newgarden's ping pong charity event, and they played in that. So wish them nothing but the best and hope for a ton of success as they continue to grow that company. NASCAR has been on a two-week break. They're going to Watkins Glen this week. The guy that won a couple weeks ago at New Hampshire was Eric Almirola, which surprised a lot of people, changed things when it comes to the playoffs because he was so far down in the points. Now he finds himself in the playoffs. But what does the two-week break do for momentum? Here's Almirola.
Yeah, I mean, I took a week to vacation, really, out of the 2 weeks that we've had off. But the rest of the time has been spent, racing. I was racing with my son, Alex, and then I was racing a late model last night in Wisconsin. So it's who I am. It's what I do. And I enjoy time away. I certainly enjoy clearing my head and getting to spend some quality family time, but at the same time, going to the racetrack is normal, and I really enjoy normal and the routine of going to the racetrack each and every weekend and going to compete.
So from a strictly a schedule and popularity and all that standpoint, I hated the two-week break. I hated the off week. However, I do understand how difficult this sport is, how long the schedule is. So for the drivers to have a week off, okay, or 2 weeks off, I get it. Now, most of them went racing anyway. You heard Eric Almirola pick that up or say that. But I think the two-week break could be interesting for some people. Almirola got the win now. Maybe that adds to momentum of not only him but his team and Stuart Haas Racing because they haven't been as strong as we've seen in the past. But I wonder about somebody like Kyle Busch. What Kyle Busch could do, the Joe Gibbs Racing Camp. How about his teammate Martin Truex Jr.? Well, we'll find out because he's going to join the show when we come back here on Chasing Checkers. This special two-hour edition of Chasing Checkers is all brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Firestone, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, European Collision and Repair, and Hillside Medical on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are rolling right along on this very special edition of Chasing Checkers. It is all presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, European Collision Repair, Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Hillside Medical. As promised, we say hello to the driver of the number 19 Reaser's Fine Foods Toyota Camry for Joe Gibbs Racing in the NASCAR Cup Series. Martin Truex Jr. is on the line with us after a couple weeks off. Martin, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good. Doing real well. How about yourself?
You know, I am good. I'm glad to see cars on the track in Watkins Glen, but also I'm here in Nashville at the Music City Grand Prix. They get ready to run that. So things are going well. And I want to start with Nashville. You guys, the Cup Series made the return out to the Nashville Super Speedway back in June. SRX was here at the fairgrounds in July, and now IndyCar is here with the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. Nashville has become a racing city, and on top of that, the awards banquet returning to Nashville as well. What does this city mean to the sport of NASCAR?
Well, I think it's always been a NASCAR city. If you really look back, it's just, you know, we, for whatever reason, we haven't been going there for a long time. So, yeah, good to be back for sure. I enjoy going there. I've got a lot of friends that live there. And, you know, I'm a big country music fan as well. So, you know, I feel like NASCAR and country music go together like, you know, peanut butter and jelly. So, glad that we're able to get back there, and you know, this, the race that we had back there a few months ago was pretty incredible. Just the fan support and you know, how many people turned out and the excitement around it. So definitely good to be back, and look forward to hopefully celebrating something big at the banquet this winter.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can remember the first time that I saw you race and got to meet you was you were driving that old Chance 2 number 8 out at the Nashville Super Speedway. I think you had Taco Bell on the car or something like that. But mm-hmm. to see a track that sat there for 10 years and then you guys go back, and I thought, you know, from my seat, the racing was pretty good. That's pretty incredible that they were able to put on a show like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought, you know, it was interesting. I felt like how much different the track was than when we used to go there. And yeah, I don't know if that's just with the cars today and the sticky compound they sprayed on the track and all those things, and it just sitting forever. But I actually thought the racing was better than it probably had ever been there when we used to go. So that was neat. That was fun. We struggled a bit with our car and didn't have the run we had hoped to. But, you know, again, it was I felt like the track was good and everything worked out, you know, probably better than most anticipated.
Martin Truex Jr. on the line with us. So three wins on the season for you, which is second only to Larson with his four. So from a playoff standpoint, you know, that you're in good shape there. But where do you think your team is right now as the season gets ready to pick back up as the playoffs are nearing?
Yeah, I feel, you know, okay with where we're at. I don't know that, you know, obviously we're not a dominant team. We've been a little bit inconsistent, but something we've been working on really hard. But you know, I feel like we can go show up and win at any given time. And, you know, this weekend's no different going to Watkins Glen. So, got a great team. We just, you know, need to be, you know, get our consistency where it needs to be before the playoffs start. And then, you know, try to make a run like we've done in the past.
What is different preparation-wise, if anything, for you going into a road course? Obviously adding a lot more. It used to just be Sonoma and Watkins Glen, but adding more to the schedule. Now, does anything change for you to get ready for a race like the Glen?
Not so much the Glen, just because, you know, we've got a lot of experience there, a lot of success there over the years. And, you know, it's a place that I know really well, I feel like. So not so much there, I would say. But in general, I think, you know, learning road courses, especially new ones, you know, there's a lot of homework involved with that. And, you know, there's a lot of homework every single weekend, no matter where we're going. But I would say that, you know, new road courses are probably the, you know, the biggest challenge. You know, so getting prepared for Indy in 2 weeks, that's going to be a big learning curve. And, you know, that's a track we'll have practice on. But when you think about 50 minutes of practice on a road course, you know, you're lucky to get 10 laps in. And, you know, it's hard to figure out everything in 10. So a lot of simulator time and things like that to learn it and try to be, you know, well prepared as best you can. You know, Watkins Glen, again, it's, you know, a place we've been going to for years. We've got a lot of background, a lot of notes on, and I've got a lot of experience at, so I should be able to, you know, go there and pick up right where we left off last time.
You bring up Indy here in a few weeks, as you guys mentioned, or as you mentioned, you know, usually run the big track, and now it's going to be the road course, and IndyCar is going to be running that as well. And talking to some of the IndyCar drivers around here, getting ready for the Grand Prix, you know, they've brought up the kind of the cross promotion a little bit with NASCAR and IndyCar, and I know doing
a doubleheader weekend with the tire compounds being different, that creates a little bit of a difficulty there. But how important is it for the two racing series to maybe cross paths a little bit more than they have in the past?
Well, I'm excited about it, and I mostly because of, you know, I've never seen an IndyCar race in person, so I'm looking forward to watching those guys race. And you know, I enjoy following them on TV and things, but never really seen it in person. So I look forward to that. It's be something different, something neat. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, it's going to be a full pack race weekend at the racetrack, and, you know, with trucks, Xfinity and, you know, Cup and then Indies, you know, it's pretty neat there. So a lot going on, a lot to, you know, be excited about for the race fans. And that's really what's most important.
Have you ever had, you know, you see Jimmy Johnson running IndyCar now, have you ever had any desire to try and get in one, even if it's just for a test?
No, honestly, I really haven't. That's kind of not really been my background. And, you know, at this point in my career, I've been doing the same thing, you know, long enough. It's kind of hard to, I guess I'm a little bit too old to go try to do something totally different now. So it's obviously a huge challenge to make that switch, as we've seen before. And, you know, I feel like it'd be, you know, a big challenge, and I'm still hopefully winning some more championships in the Cup Series. So that's my focus. But no, I never really thought about what it would be like to drive one of those cars.
One thing that I always like talking to you about is you and Sherry, the Catwalk for a Cause event that you do every year for the Martin Truex Jr. Foundation. Number one, how's Sherry doing? And number two, tell us a little more about that and what the foundation's doing.
Yeah, she's doing great. Thanks for asking. And we're just getting ready. I mean, Catwalk, we usually have it, you know, in the past, we've always had it in the spring around the first, you know, first Charlotte race. And, you know, this year we postponed it because of, you know, all kinds of different things. But it's coming up a little over a month, I guess, in September. And so we're really busy preparing for that and getting all finishing touches and details done and all that stuff. But obviously excited to have it again, you know, having to skip it last year was tough for the foundation. It's such a big fundraiser for us. So that was tough, but excited to be putting it together. A lot of the kids have already been fitted for the clothes. They're excited, and you know, it's going to be a big night. So always a great event, always a lot of fun. And you know, the girls at the foundation are doing a great job of you know, raising money in times where it's you know, been difficult to have big events and things. So yeah, foundation's doing great. And we've got a lot going on with the Novant in Charlotte and Huntersville. We're working on another project with somebody in Advent in Florida. Some big news probably be coming out about that in the near future. And yeah, everything's doing really well. And as always, it's you know, pretty humbling experience to be able to give back the amount of money that we have and help the amount of people we have over you know, the last 10 or so years. It's been pretty amazing. And the support we've gotten from our sponsors and the fans and just everybody who's supported us, all of our donors, has been, you know, it's been incredible.
Yeah. Well, you all do a great job with it, and always happy to help get the word out. Martin, best of luck with that. Best of luck this weekend and the rest of the way. And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Former champion Martin Truex Jr. joining us here on the program. And listen, I know what you're thinking. You're going, oh, man, we're at the end of the show. I hate it. 9 to 10 every week, I tune in, but show's over. Not so fast, my friend. 2 hours strong today. A very special Big Machine Music City Grand Prix edition of Chasing Checkers continues into the next hour. And I told you it was going to be special today, and that's exactly what it has been. It's all presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Firestone, European Collision Repair, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Hillside Medical. And when we come back, we get back into the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, because one former NASCAR champion that he couldn't believe that Nashville didn't have racing like it has gotten this summer. You'll hear that next. Here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here they come, turn four, final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come, checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
That's right. Another hour of Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. If you miss anything, you can check it out at thegamenashville.com, chasingcheckersradio.com. You can subscribe to the podcast, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Chasing Checkers and follow us on all of the socials as well. This special show presented by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz in Music City, European Collision and Repair, and Hillside Medical. Chase McCabe here with you. So excited to be a part of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. Coming up at 12:45 today on the main stage, I'll be doing a special 30-minute live edition for everybody that's there of this show, of Chasing Checkers. So really looking forward to that. Hope you can come by and say hi if you see me running around through the paddock or where have you with the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. So here's what we have on tap this hour. Takuma Sato, a two-time Indy 500 champion, is going to join us. Takuma Sato will join us in this hour. Kurt Busch, a NASCAR champion who has driven Indy cars before, ran in the Indy 500. He is going to join us as well. But the buzz of Nashville, there's a lot of buzz around this town. And if you've listened to this show long enough, you know that pretty much any driver I talk to, doesn't matter the series they race in, they all say that, yeah, we want to be in Nashville. Ooh, Nashville's a great town. I love to come to Nashville and party. Or I haven't been to Nashville, but I hear it's a great time. There is so much buzz with this city right now. And as a Nashville native that has watched it grow, that obviously means a lot to me to hear that. But to see the success, to see everything be pulled off like it is, that means even more to me. And I think what's also cool is when I hear a driver like Jimmy Johnson say that, you know, he's shocked that NASCAR or IndyCar or any type of racing, like, it's taken this long for them to come back. Because we all know that the Cup Series left in 1984 before it came back to the Nashville Super Speedway this June. IndyCar was at the Nashville Super Speedway in 2008. Now it's back on the streets of Nashville. SRX went to the fairgrounds. We know that there's a whole deal with the fairgrounds, things trying to get worked out there to bring more National Series racing there. But Jimmy Johnson commented on that when he did a media availability of just, he's surprised that it's taken this long.
I really did. And honestly, I'm like many that were really perplexed that the Super Speedway didn't have the kind of success that we hoped that it would, and that a Cup date, you know, didn't happen before, you know, finally has now. But from a facility standpoint, from a fan base, from a town that is into motorsports, I've always scratched my head over it. So I'm glad to see things turning around. I'm glad to know that there's a NASCAR Cup event and now an IndyCar event in town. I really do feel like it's a strong market for racing, and a lot of people in the area, there's nothing better than music and cars. So I think the two things really go together well.
Who doesn't love music and cars? And if you heard the first hour, Scott Borchetta was on with us. He has the best of both worlds, as he's the president and CEO of Big Machine and also is a race car driver as well. So, again, there's so much buzz with this city right now. And I think what's also cool is people that don't even like racing. Like, I have a very, very good friend. I'll say her name, Katie. And she, you know, she knows that I love racing. I always have loved racing. Not her thing. I mean, you know, maybe she'd flip through and see a NASCAR race on TV or something. But I saw her yesterday at practice, and she's watching it, and she looks at me and she goes, "Wow, I underestimated how cool racing really is." And she's seen street racing, IndyCars, which you get two different kinds of fans with NASCAR and IndyCar, even though I feel like that gap is starting to narrow a little bit. But that's my favorite part, is you're getting new fans. And you have, you know, Jimmy Johnson, that's a NASCAR guy that can bring some of the NASCAR people. I guarantee you, there are people at this race, are going to be at this race this weekend, that have probably never watched IndyCar that are watching now because of Jimmy Johnson. That right there is a success. And Nashville just adds to that because it's on their streets. And so I have a feeling that you're going to get a lot of new race fans this weekend. And if you watch, if you're not at it, if you're going to watch on NBCSN, you'll watch the NASCAR guys at Watkins Glen, and then you'll watch the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. It's fantastic. One of the other drivers that I've had the pleasure of talking to over the last few weeks that is going to be a part of this thing is Graham Rahal, and he's excited to come to Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled, man. First off, Nashville, just such a booming city. You know, last time we raced there, I think it was my rookie year out at the Oval, and obviously it's a whole different ball game coming downtown, and what Scott and the entire team have done to you know, really, normally we would say promote, but I'd almost say produce this event, because it's a lot more like he's done with the music and everything else, just putting on a great show and entertainment for everybody. And Nashville does that so naturally anyway, but you know, for us, I think it's just a massive, massive event. You know, it's a good opportunity to be the first to win there, which would be huge for us and for our program. So we're looking forward to it. Anytime we get to go to a new city, it's exciting. But I think, you know, this place takes it up about 20 notches. And I know that outside of the Indy 500 this year, you know, if you asked anybody what IndyCar race you're going to, every single person has said Nashville. So we anticipate this being a massive event and a big success going forward.
I think it's going to be a massive success going forward. We talked about it earlier in the show that the future is very, very bright. This is just year one, and it's going to continue to grow. And, you know, there's going to be pressure on the city, on the promoters, on the drivers to take it from here to the next level. But that's what you thrive for. That's what you want. And I feel that this group that has put this together, they are certainly going to be able to do that. When I bring up pressure, there is one guy in particular that I think has more pressure on him in the field than anybody else, and that is Hendersonville's very own Joseph Newgarden. Newgarden is coming off a win at Mid-Ohio, his first one of the year. He's a two-time IndyCar champion. Really, in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to IndyCar lore, the only thing he has left to do is to win the Indianapolis 500. However, now that they're racing on the streets of his hometown of Nashville, a place that he grew up, streets he drove on. Now he wants to come here and he wants to win. He was on Darren Donick and Chase a few weeks ago. My co-host Darren McFarlane asked him about that pressure.
It's different. I've never had this type of pressure. You know, it's fun. I can tell you that. It's really, you know, fun for me to, you know, be able to say this is my hometown. You know, and not just to say that, but I think to have probably the most popular race on the schedule and it be my hometown is even cooler. You know, everybody wants to come to this event. It's like just a great excuse for people. I know I've got, you know, cousins coming in, and my cousins bringing in like 10 different friends with them just because they want to go to Nashville. So, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on in the city. I feel like people just want an excuse to come visit. So that's been a bonus that I think, you know, is going to help accelerate this place. But yeah, there's going to be pressure, but at the end of the day, you know, from a sporting standpoint, all of these races are going to count, and they, you know, they're all significant to me. So as much as I want to succeed here, you know, being in my hometown, this race is just as important as, you know, any of the six that are left to go in our championship. So I try and, you know, mentally focus on it that way, that this is just another event, you know, like any other, and I'm going to try and go do my job just like I would do any weekend. And I feel confident right now that we have, you know, speed, and we have the team at, you know, Team Penske to get the job done. And if we do our job and what's in our control, I think the opportunity and potential for us to win the race is really good. So I'll focus on that and not think too much about the pressure of it.
Spoken like a true race car driver, a true athlete. But here's the deal. I know that he wants to win this thing. Everybody does. Everybody knows that he wants that. This is to win the first one would be special for him. Now, based on just one practice, I got some work to do. He's, you know, he's kind of mid-pack when it comes to practice. He was 12th in the first practice. So they'll get it tuned up. I would imagine he'll be towards the front. He's a pretty good road racer. He won at Mid-Ohio. He's won at Birmingham, Barber several times. So, I mean, he knows how to get around tricky tracks like this one, but I'm sure that he is carrying a little extra weight, knowing that how special this would be, that it's up there like Indy for somebody like him. But he also mentioned that it's the most popular race, and I believe it. It's just because it's Nashville. I mean, everybody that came in town yesterday, went to practice, saw that it's going to be out there today, out there tomorrow. Most of them are from out of town. I ran into some people. They're all from out of town. People were coming up to our radio station booth from out of town that they came in. They wanted to see Nashville. Not only do they want to see the race, but they just wanted to party in Nashville. That's awesome. So you have that on top of the fact that Joseph has all these family members that are either here or coming in town, wanting to see him race, wanting to see him do well. It's a lot of fun and going to be neat to watch that number two for Team Penske, and we'll see how they do. I think he's going to certainly have a good chance to get it done. All right, so now what we're going to do, we're going to come back with a couple of different interviews. You're going to hear from a two-time Indianapolis 500 champion, Takuma Sato, and then a Daytona 500 champion, a Cup Series champion, Kurt Busch. We will do that on the other side. It's Chasing Checkers, the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix edition. It's all presented by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, European Collision and Repair, and Hillside Medical on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ah, yes, a special two-hour edition of Chasing Checkers. We're rolling right along here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My thanks to Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, European Collision Repair, and Hillside Medical for being on board this week for this Big Machine Music City Grand Prix spectacular that we have in store for you. Mixing in some NASCAR and some IndyCar this week, but as promised,
I'm very excited about this one. We say hello to a two-time Indianapolis 500 winner, Takuma Sato from Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing, the driver of the number 30. He is on the line with us. Takuma, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
How excited are you to be coming to Nashville and racing on the streets of Nashville in the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix?
Are we all really excited about it? Not just, you know, just new venue, but just Nashville, you know, sounds and seems so attractive for any you know, prospects. So, you know, the track seems to be quite challenging and quite unique, you know, go over the bridge and pretty fast too. So we have so many unknown situations right now, but I think we are really, really excited.
Have you ever been to Nashville before?
Well, I have gone past a several times, but never actually able to spend the time in downtown. But I've heard a lot of the great stories and, you know, the restaurants and bars and, of course, you know, the lots of festivals and happening. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to visit the property this time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be cool to have you here. So you mentioned being able to get prepared for the racetrack. I mean, they are in the process of putting it all together right now. Now, I did see a video earlier today from a Honda simulator going around the track. How much time have you spent on the sim trying to get ready for this race?
Well, we have still quite strict regulation and you know, limited number of the days that each team can spend in the simulator. And that's obviously for the Honda point of view as well. But, you know, all the team wants to have a day. So, you know, we have very limited, and Graham and I basically spread a day each, and then they spend some time for the simulator, which is fantastic because they did actually, you know, scan the surface. So although I think a lot of details you have to be really updated after the race, but mostly the most important part is just how the bumps and, you know, all the undulating stuff and corner radius and all the stuff that the, you know, HPD was putting all together, so we all be able to at least in half day to get experience before go to the property on the track.
So how do you go about the first time that you get on the track for a practice? Do you just go for it and take what you've learned from the sim, or do you try to ease into it a little bit?
Well, it obviously has to be easy into that. You know, the sum of the case, you know, if you have a massive runoff area in some of the prominent road course, yeah, you can go for it. But really unnecessary to do it, you know, 100% in straight away. It's just no point. But particularly for this kind of the track, which is a street course, basically is no margin of error. And, you know, we will have to look after the light height very carefully, because as soon as we hit the bottoming too hard, basically we all become passengers. So we have to build up all the things. So I'm sure there are lots of teams that just in and out, you know, for the first practice, and just building up, and then, and also driver has to be confident with what's happening all the time. So I'm sure the first practice session will be fun, but as well as we have to go extremely cautious to start with.
Takuma Sato is on the line with us, and I mentioned in the intro, a two-time Indianapolis 500 winner, including last year, which he ended up winning that one with a battle with Scott Dixon, but the race finishes under caution, but also won in 2017 when he was driving for Andretti Autosport to get his first Indy 500 victory. They're both cool. They both matter a lot. You're a two-time champion, but does one maybe stand out over the other?
Well, not necessarily. Like you said, both really cool. Basically, just nothing like it. You know, to every single win is you can't compare it. You know, for example, 2013, my first ever win in IndyCar with with AJ Foyt and legendary 14 car putting on the winner's circle in Long Beach, and that is very special too. But of course, Indy 500, just that is the ultimate race. And, 17 was super, super special. And of course, and then last year was during the pandemic, and there was obviously a little bit sad situation with no spectators, but knowing that millions of people was watching, you know, safely through the television. And, of course, that if you're an IndyCar fan, you have a little history that what happened to 2012 with I was driving for the Bobby at that time and didn't quite make it, you know, for the last lap for the winning. And, you know, after 8 years that, we finally achieved something, you know, grave we left over there. So it was just both very, very special occasion. And, this year it was a shame that, all the strategy and everything didn't work out our favor. But still, the 500 is just every time I go back to the IMS, it feels like so privileged and so... How can I say? It just it feels appreciation, you know, for the venue and such a loyal fans all the time they're coming to cheer us.
You mentioned last year and not having the fans and how weird that was, to even though it wasn't the full capacity this year, but just to have people back. What was the emotion like for you when you heard that roar for the first time?
It was just fantastic, you know, something we always had, you know, have been. To knowing that, but you almost have forgotten, you know, how energetic it was and how, you know, this is just the name of the sport, just the engagement with, you know, over 200,000 people and fans and race team. And that's just atmosphere is nothing like it from last year. Now, obviously, last year we all understand the situation, but still, end of the day, it was just a sad, and compared to that, that was just night and day. And I think you can see everyone was smiling, you know, before the race. So that was a fantastic experience.
So what has this season been like for you so far, Takuma? As you find yourself 10th in the standings, I believe, but still looking for a win on this season. How has it gone so far?
Well, absolutely. I think all the drivers, every single time, looking for the win, but I am so... Batley wants to have a great result. 2021, honestly speaking, it is a bit frustrating. You know, I haven't been able to achieve satisfy the results. Okay, it's come close to the very close to the podium finish, and Detroit was a good race, but there was always something happened. And as you just said, you know, point standing at 10th, but that's as a result of we have so many, you know, 15 sprays and 10 sprays like that. So, yes, it's quite challenging year. Very competitive field, you know, as everybody can see, which is great. But you know, we always want to be in the podium. We always want to be to aim the wins, and the Nashville will be a great reset for the second half of the season. Although it's only 6 races remain, but new venue. We had just a month off, and everybody just, so motivated back to the racing, and so did I. So, let's hope, last few races, you know, some interesting under our team and my favorite track is coming on board too. So, I have a great hope, and certainly very looking forward to back in the car.
You got into racing because I know you were in F1 before IndyCar, but you saw F1 race back in Japan where you're from, being from Tokyo, seeing the Olympics in Tokyo, again, not having the spectators, which is a bummer, but seeing your country be able to host the Olympics, what's that been like for you?
It's a special moment. Having said that, it is a mixture of the feeling, to be honest with you. Just simply fantastic to have Olympic Games, you know, any circumstance in your own country. And, you know, just really proud of that. And then observing the world-class athletes doing fantastic performance. And every single day, you know, we really enjoyed the intense and the very competitive. But yet, it just you can see so many friendship and the relationship between athletes. You know, some crying, some laughing, and some, you know, obviously difficult circumstances. But you know, it's all we supportive, you know, for the athlete, which is great side. But you know, the other side, you know, we have still so many new cases for COVID-19, and the Tokyo and so many cities in Japan is basically under the emergency circumstance with some, you know, very soft lockdown. And you know, it's a lot of people suffering too with that. Not only for Japan, of course, it's just worldwide as well. But you know, delay of the vaccination, all the preparation with lots of argument, and it's tough. You know, for the business point of view, Japan is suffering for that. You know, having had Olympics, and it's just not helping for the economically for Japan. But that's obviously the, you know, difficult side to argue or talk, but simply from athlete point of view, it's just fantastic to see the everyone is doing a fantastic the games, and certainly, you know, feel really proud to cheering on your own, you know, the, how can I say, country's superstars. And no, I really enjoyed watching the Olympic Games.
Yeah, for sure. So as we get ready for this weekend, it's going to be a lot of fun. As you mentioned, new venue, running it for the first time, seeing what's going to happen with the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. If somebody has never been to an IndyCar race before that's going to be going this weekend, what can they expect?
Well, I think, you know, almost one of the top three must have seen this this event. Like you said, yes, I think we all really looking forward to, you know, I think it's a totally unexpected things happening, and with good supplies, I hope. And the supplies we might have good for us. But no, I think, you know, without saying anything, of course, the top teams, the big teams have a lot of resources to be prepared. So needless to say, they will be very competitive for the big boys. However, there's still lots of unknown. There is a huge chance for all of us. It, you know, you can't be predicted who's going to be competitive. But I think that we all, you know, let's have a great event. And sponsors will be happy with lots of events, and fans will be excited. And, you know, street course is always so many unknowns happening. And I think, scenery point of view, go over the bridge in 190 miles per hour, and then heavy braking with bottom in the car, still turning into the right and preparing for 90 degrees corner. That's really exciting. So, yes, everybody, I hope we can see over there, and hopefully we have a great event over the weekend.
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. Takuma, it is a pleasure to talk to you, and best of luck this weekend and for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
Two-time Indy 500 champion Takuma Sato joining us here on this special edition of Chasing Checkers. And what a fun guy. Really hope he has success this weekend at the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. You know, everything on this special show and over the last few weeks has been brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, European Collision Repair, Hillside Medical, and by Firestone. Firestone Tires, the only tires driven by IndyCar drivers. They're finally hitting the streets of Nashville, doing some road racing, the streets that they call home. It's all this weekend. Watch all weekend as Firestone Rubber meets the legendary streets of Music City and enjoys the sweet music of IndyCars racing along every stretch, including crossing a body of water, the Korean Veterans Bridge. Yep, feels good to be home for Firestone, the exclusive tire of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix and the official tire of the NTT IndyCar Series. When we come back, we get back into NASCAR with Kurt Busch. He is a champion, a Daytona 500 champion as well. He joined me on Darren Donick and Chase earlier this week. You'll hear the conversation with the 04 champ when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5.
Thanks for being with us here on a Saturday morning, a special two-hour edition of Chasing Checkers, the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix edition, all presented by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz and Music City, European Collision Repair, and Hillside Medical. We've mixed in some NASCAR today because that's always important to get all forms of racing in, and we'll get back into the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix in just a little bit, but first we'll talk to Kurt Busch. I did that on Darren Donick and Chase, which airs 10 to 2 weekdays. He joined us earlier this week to talk about the two-week break, what's next for him, and racing at Watkins Glen. Kurt, how you doing?
I'm doing good, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, always always good to talk to you. And I know it's it feels like forever. It's been a couple weeks that since you guys raced at New Hampshire, had the Olympic break, because NBC had all their coverage, but this feels like forever. So how much have you been itching to jump back in the car?
Yeah, it's pretty wild to have a two-week break. I've been at this thing for 20 years, and to have 2 weeks in the middle of the season, it's crazy. And for me, I'm jumping in the simulator this afternoon, getting all the crew guys to set up a formal practice session to go through things at Watkins Glen, run some setup changes, and just get back in the groove and do the things that an old guy needs to do to find that repetition to be ready for Sunday's race.
Kurt, you're not old. You're definitely not old. I was at Atlanta, watched you beat your little brother and win your first race of the year, and I could tell that you had that Kurt Busch swagger back. And when you walked into the media center, I could see it. How much fun are you having right now?
It's been a blast. You know, the way that the latter part of my career is unfolded, and to have a great relationship with Monster Energy, you know, an awesome sponsor, a lot of fun. We're always doing different things together outside of the NASCAR world. And, you know, the focus with the team, and right now with Ganassi selling the team, and all the crew guys are kind of up in the air. I'm like, wow, this is my chance to try to rally the troops, get everybody focused, and to expunge all the right energy out of everybody to make a run at this championship. So that's kind of the vibe in the field. And it was a great win for us at Atlanta a couple of weeks ago. And now we've got a 14-week stretch here to finish strong.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Chip Ganassi selling the NASCAR team to Trackhouse. It would be very easy for everybody to get that news and go, okay, well, let's start looking for jobs and looking for next year and all that stuff. But that hasn't been the case. The 42, the 1, both teams have been running well. You obviously got the win. So from the driver's seat, what does it mean to see those people that there is uncertainty, but they get after it every week, just like normal?
You know, this whole crazy world that we live in right now, outside of NASCAR, you know, with COVID and the process that all of us have had to go through, and the different things we've had to adapt and to be fluid, you know, that's a word that none of us really used a couple of years ago. And it's just to be able to have that adaptability and to find the right rhythm through all this. And now with the team selling, it's like, okay, what else? You know, it's like, what asteroid is going to come in and hit us, and we'll have to deal with it too. And so it's just really drawing everybody closer together, and that's a key thing for us right now, to use the right way and to finish strong, because that's the human spirit.
Now, you know, as I mentioned, you beat Kyle at Atlanta, and you guys have had some 1-2 finishes over the years, which I know are fun to watch, fun for the fans. Did he ever cool off? You know, Kyle doesn't like finishing second, so did he ever cool off and congratulate you?
Yeah, I think there was a small congratulation. It might have been during the off week when he might have had a couple too many tequilas. But, yeah, it's fun racing with Kyle. And what's great in this part of my career and his career, we seem to have these 1-2 finishes at the same tracks with the tires and the feel that we have. And it just shows we drive the car the same way. And so I think we're going to have more of these types of finishes coming up because of just the patterns that I'm seeing with the way we drive the tires and certain tracks.
It's funny. Before the race at Nashville, I had the opportunity to talk to you, and I talked to Kyle, and I brought that up, like, hey, you don't like finishing second. What is Brexton like? Is Brexton enters his career, and he laughed and he said, believe it or not, he's actually worse. And I think he's going to be worse than me when he finishes second. Have you seen that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I've got to do a better job as an uncle to help Rexton. I took him to the go-kart track in Austin when Kyle was running the Xfinity race. And so I spent a couple hours with him, and this electric go-kart track, the battery wasn't charged right. And so he got waxed by the other kid that was out there, and he's pouting, and I'm just laughing at this whole thing. I know the cart was the problem. And then he gets in another run with another cart, and he just completely flips the table and just put on a clinic over the other kid. And he's just now walking around with Kyle Busch swagger. And I'm like, okay, Braxton, you need to be able to adapt that attitude when the car's not doing good. So he's going to be a fun project. He's a competitor. He's a Busch. And we'll always have our little edge about us.
Yeah, and it's funny that you bring that up, because I, you know, you see that with race car drivers all the time. As you've been in the sport long enough and you get older and you go through different experiences, you learn how to handle the bad things, you know, a little bit better. But, you know, for you, I mean, you have this just chill about you that you've had, you know, the last few years. How did that develop, and what are some things that maybe helped you get to that point where it's a little easier to deal with things when they're not going so great?
You know, in all honesty, I would say it came from two major events in my life. One of them being with my wife, Ashley. She's a sweetheart, and she's an athlete. She plays polo, and she's a very competitive person, but she's very sweet and smart. And the other big moment was when I went to Walter Reed Medical Center to visit our military members who had just got shipped back there from wherever they were in the world, and they have these injuries. Some of them are life-threatening. They've lost legs or arms, or they got hit with shrapnel from an IED. And I see these men and women who have put their lives on the line for our freedom that we enjoy every day, and how their lives have changed. And I sat there and I thought, you know, my days in the car, it's not so rough when you see something like this. And so the military has really affected me this last decade, with being able to visit with them and help support them and to give back to that community.
Yeah, and you do a tremendous job with it. You've had the opportunity this year to be teammates with Ross Chastain, and it was announced this week he's going to be in that other Trackhouse car, the Watermelon Man. We've seen him come up through the ranks, but what are some things you've noticed about him in the year running together?
He's a good kid. He's a blue collar kid, just like me, working hard with the family business and trying to make a name for himself in this racing world. And he's done everything right. He's ruffled the feathers of some of the veterans. He's grabbed a few wins here and there in the Xfinity and the Truck Series, and he'll be a winner in this Cup Series. And I'm happy for him that, you know, Trackhouse wanted him to drive, and he's got a multi-year deal, and that will give him that comfort to know that he can be around for a long time.
So that, of course, leads us to the question with you. I know talking to you at Atlanta, you said you really look forward to driving the next gen car, and that's kind of your motivation for wanting to continue, because those retirement rumors had been out there. 2311 has been rumored as a connection to you. Where are you at on next year, and can you shed any light on that?
Yeah, things are close. I don't have anything signed just yet. But, you know, again, like I said, the options are starting to get narrowed down, and I'm hopeful that with Monster Energy, myself, manufacturer, we're all able to put the puzzle pieces together the right way, because I'm a racer. And I want to race the next gen car and finish my career knowing that I was able to tackle that next project with that car.
As we wrap this up, this weekend, you guys are at Watkins Glen, but the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix is right here in Nashville on the streets for the first time. You all made the return to the Nashville Super Speedway in June. SRX was here at the fairgrounds in July. Now IndyCar is here, which you ran the Indy 500 a few years ago. How cool is it to see Nashville as a racing city again?
Oh, it's awesome. I'm going to be glued to the TV to watch the Indy cars in your city streets. What a cool event with just the whole atmosphere of the town and everybody from all different forms of motorsport. Like you said, NASCAR was there earlier at the Super Speedway with SRX at the short track, IndyCar City Streets. I mean, Nashville's doing it right now, and it's going to be a fun weekend for everybody to enjoy and to see something new and different. So it's a cool town, great vibe, and good people there for the motorsports world.
Well, Kurt, it's always good to talk to you. Best of luck at the Glen this weekend. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, my friend. Appreciate it. Good talking with you.
When we come back on Chasing Checkers, you'll hear once again from some of the contenders to watch in the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, plus somebody to watch at Watkins Glen International for NASCAR as well. We'll give you some Sunday money, some odds, as we wrap things up here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, European Collision and Repair, and Hillside Medical on ESPN 102.5 The Game, The Game Nashville app. We are back, Chasey Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on The Game Nashville app. This special two-hour edition, the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix edition, is all presented by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, European Collision and Repair, and Hillside Medical. Appreciate all of them for being on board. We've had a loaded show. If you miss anything, you can check it out on the podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. You can go to thegamenashville.com or chasingcheckersradio.com as well. So appreciate Martin Truex Jr., Scott Borchetta, Kurt Busch, Takuma Sato for all joining us on this special edition of the show. So what to expect this weekend? Yes, we mentioned practice yesterday was led by Colton Herta, as he had the fastest lap on the day to lead practice. So does that mean he's going to win? Could Joseph Newgarden improve his position? That is one thing we're going to find out with the second round of practice today and then qualifications a little later on at the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. To give you a further look at the schedule, we're getting wrapped up here in just a few minutes. The Trans Am Series will have their qualifying starting at 11. That practice I mentioned from the NTT IndyCar Series, it'll be at high noon. Then the Trans Am race at 1:20. So looking forward to watching that. The SRO GT America, they will qualify at 2:50 thereabouts. And then NTT IndyCar Series will qualify at 3:30. My man Tim Duggar, he's going to be on the main stage at 5. Looking forward to that. The Stadium Super Trucks, they're going to have their race at 6:15. The SRO GT America, they will race at 7:35. That's the end of racing for the day. Then John Party is the headliner tonight, and then a fireworks show after him. Tomorrow, the gates will open at 9. You'll have live music on the new Sound of Nashville stage, also starting at 9. CeCe Winans is going to do a non-denominational worship service at 10. And then the NTT IndyCar Series warm-up at noon. You'll have Lane Motor Museum parade lap at 12:35. Vintage IndyCars will take the track at 12:45. And then coming up at 1:45 tomorrow, Stadium Super Truck Series Race 2, followed by at 2:45 the SRO GT America Race 2, and then finally 4:30 the NTT IndyCar Series, the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. 80 laps around this 2.17-mile track on the streets of Nashville, and then the Grand Ole Opry at the track to wrap it all up at 7 with the Oak Ridge Boys leading the way as the headliner for that. So that's the schedule for the rest of the weekend. Now let's hear from some of the drivers that we are looking at and expect to have a pretty good day. One that I just love is James Hinchcliffe. This is what he had to say after practice.
Nashville's great, honestly. It was definitely an educational first session for everybody getting out there for the first time and trying to see what this place is really going to drive like. And honestly, I think it was better than expected. No doubt the bridge is bumpy, but that's kind of the same for everyone. The back section's tight and slippery, but that's the same for everyone. Stadium section's actually rubbered in real nice for, you know, the first time. Not just we're on track this year, but anything's been on track here. So overall, decent start for the team. Obviously, Colton's quick, so we can look at that and keep pounding away and try to make the number 29 a little faster for them all.
Hinch is a part-time racer now. He's doing some television work. You've seen him on NBC. He did SRX for CBS. He does a tremendous job with that. But I really hope that he has a good run in the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. I think that would be a lot of fun. But a guy that I think you have to pay attention to, and let's get into some betting. You know, Sunday money, we'll get to the NASCAR Sunday money here in just a few minutes. But as I looked at the odds for this race, Joseph Newgarden is the favorite at plus 380. So the hometown boy, and he's good on road courses. He's coming off a win at Mid-Ohio. So he's the favorite at plus 380. But Scott Dixon is plus 525 after a fourth place finish at Mid-Ohio. He is the second favorite, and he talked about the track and things to expect after the first practice.
Pretty exciting to hit National Music City Grand Prix right away. Pretty bumpy transitions, especially off the bridge, but the track layout's pretty unique, pretty fun. Very difficult on trail braking and stuff like that, so I think you've seen lots of action with different drivers. Very easy to go in some of the runoffs and a lot of blind corners. So the car was good. We didn't really get a run there at the end. That was kind of the warm-up lap or getting the speed lap on the tyres, and I think the next lap would have been super fast. So really happy for the team. Looks like all the cars are up there, and hopefully improve on it for tomorrow.
Scott Dixon was second in the first practice session behind Colton Herta, who was the leader. And a little bit of a difference speed-wise, but lap time, Herta was 116.5875. Dixon was 116.9653. So I think Dixon is certainly going to be a player when it comes to winning the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. And again, he's got odds at plus 525. There are three drivers at plus 850, Pato O'Ward, Colton Herta, who led practice, and Will Power after a 25th place finish at Mid-Ohio, and Alex Palou and Rinus VK at plus 1,300. So those are some of the odds for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. I would imagine they're going to change a little bit as they qualify and get closer. So we'll tweet those out at Chasen_Checkers on Twitter as well. So always got to talk a little betting, and we'll get to Sunday money for the NASCAR side in just a second as they go to Watkins Glen this week. And after 2 weeks off for the NASCAR Cup Series, you know, it's nice to get that break in. But the thing that everybody's going to be watching is Chase Elliott. He could tie Tony Stewart on the all-time road course wins list. He's chasing down Jeff Gordon, who has 9. And again, they have more road courses, so he's able to get to it faster. But he's already sitting at 7, and he has 2 wins at Watkins Glen, including his first career win. Overall, the only road course he has not won at is Sonoma. And then, of course, the Indy that they have not run yet. But has 2 at Watkins Glen, 1 at Daytona, 2 on the Roval, 1 at COTA, 1 at Road America, does Chase Elliott. But the all-time winner at Watkins Glen is Tony Stewart with 5 on his career. So he has done a really good job in his career at Watkins Glen. And so we'll see if Chase Elliott can add to that, because it does appear to be one of the stronger road courses that he goes to. They didn't race there last year, so they'll be back. But Elliott always gets asked the question. I've asked it to him when he goes to a road course. What makes him so good at the road course?
Yeah, again, I wish I knew. I really don't feel like I do anything spectacularly special or very different at those places. But you know, again, we've had a good package as a company. You know, the 9 team now used to be the 24 team. You know, Jeff had a lot of success on road courses. Alan has a great understanding and a little history with road racing too, prior to NASCAR. So I just feel like we've focused on things that matter and we've developed a good package. But, you know, look, as I always say, it's, you know, things are evolving and changing as time goes, and we've got to continue to push and be better too. So we know our competition is, and we'll, you know, give it our best shot and see where we stack up this weekend, just like always.
There is no doubt that Chase Elliott is going to be somebody to pay attention to this week. A couple of other notes. Is Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson duke it out for the regular season title? We all know Larson has 4 wins on the year. Denny Hamlin has not found victory lane. This could be an interesting track for both of them. Denny Hamlin has made 14 starts at this road course. He has 1 win in 2016, 4 top 5s, 7 top 10s, an average finish, though, of 16.3. So you got to pay attention to that. Larson, 6 starts at this road course, 1 top 5, 3 top 10s, average finish of 13.7. So got to pay attention to that battle as they try to get the regular season title. But as we do, always do, let's wrap things up with Sunday Money. All right, these odds from BetMGM as they race at Watkins Glen this weekend. I've gotten where I really enjoy watching road courses. The Go Bowling at the Glen as they make their return there to Watkins Glen in upstate New York. Chase Elliott is, of course, the favorite at plus 200. I don't think it's a bad bet at all. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets his 3rd win of the year. And it's at yet another road course. I know he's wanting to get some oval wins on the year as well, but hey, you got to play to your strength, and that is certainly one of them. However, I'll give you some others that you should pay attention to. Kyle Larson, I just gave you the stat on him. He is plus 425. Martin Truex Jr., who we talked to earlier, at plus 550. He has won at the Glen before. He's had a lot of success there in his career. So I would certainly pay attention to Martin Truex Jr. With those odds. A couple that are in the 3 digits. Denny Hamlin with the 1 win is plus 1,000. He's getting desperate. He's wanting a win for sure. I think the Gibbs cars in general are going to be pretty good on Sunday. And then Ryan Blaney, plus 2,500. I like the value on that. So I would say jump on those. That is going to do it for this very special edition of Chasing Checkers, 2 hours strong. Really appreciate all of the sponsors involved: Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, European Collision and Repair, and Hillside Medical. Thank you so much for all of the coverage leading up to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. I want to thank Mike Zizzo of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. He has set up all of these interviews that you've been hearing over the last few weeks. Chris Parker, the president, Matt Cruz, the entire crew involved with the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. Can't wait to see the product and how it turns out. And also can't wait to watch a little racing from Watkins Glen earlier in the day as well. You can find us on the podcast. Search for Chasing Checkers. And we're back every Saturday at 9 on ESPN 102.5 The Game, The Game Nashville.